Luke chapter 2. What an amazing night that would have been. Imagine the shepherds when they would... I'm going to be preaching on that tonight. Well, actually, one of the points I could tie it into right now, the thought I have, but just the wonder of that night, and when the night that Christ was born in Bethlehem. Again, looking at the typical weather for Bethlehem, it was probably somewhere around 48 to 55 degrees that evening. And, you know, born out in this stable area, the manger, those shepherds coming, just having received news from Gabriel himself about the birth of Jesus Christ, that the Son of God is now made flesh. God in the flesh. He's been born. The Savior is here. And when the shepherds come in to that area, and what they find is what looks to be just an average, like any other newborn child. No doubt crying. I mean, think about that. That's the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, who humbled Himself to become a man. Helpless now, sitting there in His mother's arms. When He's hungry, He has to cry. This is the Creator of the universe, who knew the only way that He could possibly save us from the judgment to come was if He became a man and lived on this earth as a man, the perfect life, which is exactly what He did. He lived the perfect life for you, so that when He went to the cross, He could take your place in judgment and give you that perfect life. That's the whole reason He was here. But those shepherds were there, and just think the reality that hit them as they're there with that baby there and He's crying. And the only thing they can do is, like the second special said, is just simply fall on their knees and worship Him, the Creator of the universe. Incredible. Luke chapter 2. Excuse me. This is picking up right here where the shepherds have Mary has just had the baby. Mary and Joseph are there. Jesus is literally lying in the manger at this time. And so they arrive. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that He had heard, for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them, as it was told unto them. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love You. We do ask Your blessing upon our service tonight, Lord. I pray that You be glorified and honored in it. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd bless. Lord, please work here this evening. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Christ as their Savior, Lord, make that clear to them. Lord, I pray that even this evening they would repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us again to understand what this season is all about, the importance of it, the amazement of it. Lord, please bless tonight. Please control what I say and how I say it, Lord. Again, I love You. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We all have a lot of different traditions at Christmas. Each family usually does something a little bit different and unique when they celebrate Christmas. It's a time usually when families get together. Matter of fact, it's good to have Heather and Jordan and Wendy. They flew in last night, and they'll have Bethany and Levi. They're actually landing about right now, so I have all five of my children and their families will be with us for Christmas, and that certainly is a joyous time and something that we look forward to have everybody together for the holidays. And I have many fond memories going back as a boy at Christmas time. and fond memories even as my children grew up with traditions we had at Christmas. One of my favorites was something that always led up to Christmas. I enjoyed it all the time. The kids, when we arrived in New Guinea, Daniel was the oldest. Levi was not born yet. Daniel was about 12 when we got to PNG. And the youngest was Bethany. She was about 6 years old when we arrived. But every year at Christmas time leading up to it, in PNG, understand there's just a couple of trade stores there. There's not much there. There's no Walmart or anything like that. And so we relied heavily on my mom to get us Christmas stuff. Heavily. And so she always tried to have the boxes arrive in country on our supply run the 1st of December. Because we'd head out the beginning of the month and we would not be back till January. And there were certain times when it didn't happen. And I'd have to actually get up early on Christmas Eve, run all the way to Cavian, pick some boxes up and come all the way back the same day before Christmas so the kids would have all that. But usually, every year, she tried to have it there by December 1st. And we'd have like 5 or 6 of these big boxes that would arrive. And so I'd come home with them. And I would take all the boxes for Christmas into the back bedroom and then open them up, and then the kids would all be basically lined up at the door. And then they would take the presents and go put them underneath the tree, each one for them, and they'd go put it underneath there. And then every day after that, we didn't have to teach them this. They did this tradition on their own. And I would imagine if my 5 adult kids were even in the house right now, they'd be doing the same thing if nobody was watching. But they would take out all their presents that were to them and stack them and count. They wanted to make sure everybody had the same amount of presents. And if one of them happened to have one more, forget about it. I mean, it was over with. I'd have to go wrap a roll of toilet paper or something like that, put under the tree for them to make it even. But I always enjoyed watching them do that. I always come out and they'd have it all completely stacked, their own little pile, and then they just, you know, quickly put it all back. But the very next day, they just did it the day before, they would do it again. They would do it again. And I always enjoyed, but anyhow, families have different traditions. And today what I want us to look at is how the first Christmas was celebrated. What took place that night when Christ was born? And I think what we see take place should be something we try to emulate each Christmas as well. It really does show the importance of the night, of the evening, as to what took place. In the few verses we read, we see 4 things that took place the very first Christmas, and how they celebrated the birth of Christ. What we're going to see in our verses was some proclaiming, wondering, pondering, and then glorifying. I want to look at each of those as it took place that first evening on Christmas. Verse 17, let's look there. Chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, and as they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So this is an interesting verse. It's speaking, of course, to Mary and Joseph and of what they had just seen. But it's also letting us know this is something they continued to do. They were proclaiming basically everywhere they ended up going what happened to them that night. And how could they not? I mean, these were the shepherds that were in the field. Remember, this is the lowest class of Israel. The shepherds were the lowest. And yet this class, these shepherds were the ones that God decided these humble shepherds are the ones that I'm going to send Gabriel to. They're the ones I'm going to open up the skies. They're going to see the host of heaven glorifying God. They're going to witness it. It wasn't to the chief priests. It wasn't to the Pharisees. It was to the shepherds who were in the field with their sheep. Think of what they saw. Think of what they heard. How could they not proclaim it? But the same is true for us. Do you understand the truth that we hold? The greatness of it, the importance of it. When you begin to grasp it, how can we not proclaim as well? There is no greater truth that mankind needs to hear. None. There is nothing. There's not a solution to the world's economic problems that's more important. There's not a solution to the virus problem that's more important. None of it is. The most important truth that the world needs to hear is what happened 2,000 years ago and why Jesus Christ was here. why God became a man, how this is the only way possible to be reconciled to God is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and why that's true. We live in a day where there's this, you believe what you want, you have what you believe, that's good for you, I have what I believe. That's not how this works. What you had better make sure you're believing is truth. Just because you believe it doesn't make it true. You could be living in a fantasy world and not even realize it. And then all of a sudden, one day, you stand before Almighty God. Your fantasy world will end. He's a holy and He's a just God. And He's done everything possible to make sure that He puts you in a place where you can be saved. The shepherds, one way they celebrated that night was by telling anybody they came across what happened to them. Anybody they came across. It's the same thing that we should be doing to proclaim this news. We have a responsibility with it. That we should go forth and really go forth with the exact same excitement that they had. Secondly, we see the wondering taking place. Look in the next verse number 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Boy, those who did hear it, those present and even those later on, wondered at it. Mary and Joseph. I mean, wondering, is this true? I mean, look at all, they're saying it with such conviction and such passion. I mean, something really happened that night. And it caused wonder in those that heard it. As the shepherds told the story of the angel making the proclamation and seeing into heaven itself, a holy wonder of the mighty work of God came upon all of them. They thought on the fact that of God becoming a man. That this is the Christ that's been prophesied about. That He's here. These wonders of God, of course, are throughout the Bible. And boy, as you tell others, when they see the same, when we tell others, there should be with a passion. They should tell even how by how you tell them that this is something you believe. That it should lead to that wonderment in them. Of when they're hearing these words. I remember I was preaching at a market doing this public preaching in New Guinea. And that was very effective there. People would just come, dozens to hundreds would come and listen when I was preaching in just in a public market area. And I'd finish this day and I'd always take questions. I'd stay available. And I remember I had one day had come up to me a man who was a Jehovah's Witness. He was not from the area I was preaching. He was from several hours away. And he had told me that he was a Jehovah's Witness. Now, I understood much about them, how they did not believe Jesus was in fact God and on and on. And he wanted to talk. And so we went by. We talked for about an hour. And I remember as I was going through the scripture, demonstrating to him that Jesus is in fact God, Jehovah. The wonderment that hit him. You could just see it. You could just see it. You could see taking place as I'm talking with him, the repentance. Turning from what he now knows was no longer true as he's hearing the gospel. You can see it clicking. You could just see the amazement coming upon him when it hit. To the point when we were finished of him putting his faith in Jesus Christ that night as his Savior and God. But as we go and we proclaim, what you will find people is doing is wondering, being in wonderment at the great truth. And then, thirdly, we see the pondering. Verse 19 talks about Mary pondering these things in her heart. It says, but Mary kept all these things, and there's many things you need to keep in your heart. When it comes to the truth of God and the work of God, these are things that you need to keep in your heart. But I'm not going to focus on that. And pondered them in her heart. These are things she thought about. I mean, she's just in amazement. She's still, you know, a teenager herself at this point. Been put in this position of, you know, again, I have preached on the position that her and Joseph were in. And you can think of the position she's been in, and now she's hearing the proclamation of the shepherds. You know, I could just imagine the tears streaming down both their eyes as they're hearing what happened to the shepherds. Mary now dwelling upon these things and thinking upon them, pondering them in her heart over these incredible events that have just taken place, of her just being in amazement of who it is that she's holding, of who it is she's been given, her and Joseph have been given the responsibility for. Boy, and if we don't take time to ponder the greatness of God and what He's done for us, boy, can we easily miss His great workings in our life. Too often we don't take the time to meditate upon the things of God. Boy, this Christmas, boy, take that time to meditate upon Him. You know, every year since we had children, since Daniel's birth, at Christmas time, that morning, as we get up and we get ready, everything centers right on Christ. You know, the kids, I had their tradition getting up when they had to. Of course, they'd always want to wake me early. Of course, they're excited, and they should be excited, and I want them excited for it. And I like to make them wait a little bit. I have fun with that. Not being mean, just building the excitement up for them. And so they have to wait because everybody else is down there. They're just in their PJs and robes and everything else. I take a shower. I get completely ready. And then I come down. And They've never figured out. Just turn the hot water off. Go find where the hot water tank is and shut that thing off, and I'll be out of there pretty quick. But you're not doing that tomorrow either. That's not happening. And I should have said that like 20 years from now. This is a little early to say that. But then I would go down and I would read right from here, usually in Luke chapter 2, sometimes in Matthew, and then we would pray. And then after that, we talked about what really took place that evening. Then we would begin to exchange gifts and open them up. But just wanting them to ponder, don't lose sight of the magnitude of the importance of what we are remembering right now. Pondering can take a little discipline, a little work. It's a serious meditation. It's really thinking about it. Not just a passing thought. Take time even this year as we come and we're getting ready to start a new year. Begin to ponder where your walk is with God. Ask Him, Lord, what can I improve on? Lord, when I look at my spiritual life right now with You, what do I need to improve? Or asking yourself, pondering this, trying to think upon, and if you can't, something's wrong. You need to approach this new year a little bit differently. Pondering on this, what have I learned about God this year? What is it that grabbed me? And try and think of just a few things that you learned about God. And then lastly, what we see taking place is glorifying. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. The shepherds also celebrated the very first Christmas by glorifying God. You know what I like about this, by the way, is the glorifying was truly, truly all about God. They glorified God when they got home. It wasn't a public display. There wasn't a praise band playing for them. There wasn't entertainment based. It was because of the truth and the magnitude of the night that when they got home, they could just glorify God. Incredible. They were changed that night. They were changed by what they witnessed, by the truth that they heard, by the child that they met. They have seen literally the salvation of the Lord. They were so thankful for what God revealed to them. It led to them glorifying God. And that's what leads to it, by the way. When you see His working in your life, that thankfulness that leads to it. Again, it's not a praise band that leads to it. It's all of God when you consider His workings in your life. our life as we ponder the things of God. We need to begin to see the greatness of God and His workings in our life. And that should lead to us glorifying Him. Too often, listen to me, especially in a Western culture, we get so obsessed with glorifying self. We're too worried about glorifying our own works and thinking what we have done instead of the great works of God. But we need to have our focus on Him. Considering all the grace He has shown, the mercy He has shown, how He's worked in your life, besides the great things He's done for us that we see in the Word of God, like becoming a man and salvation itself. But I'm talking about even taking the time to think where God has worked in your life. And we can even see, even with what took place with Mary when she was pondering, and even to the shepherds themselves, you know, there are times that sometimes in the moment of something, like when Mary found out what was taking place, you don't always understand. But the day comes when there's perfect understanding. But the shepherds here, they went home. And when they thought on what God did, they glorified Him. They were so honored to be allowed to witness what they did. You know what they felt before God? Special. Singled out. Honored by the Creator. Right now, every single one of you in a place where you can hear truth. God's put you in a place to hear it. To make you feel special. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not a coincidence. And we consider what God has done for us. We should glorify Him. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed.